Now, they were with me yesterday on a whirlwind of a trip. The good Baptist down there in central Louisiana, the church building burned down. So they called me in to see if they'd get a little cash going to rebuild the church building. Of course, I went to Houston because they passed the ordinance whereby from this day forth, all males can go into females' restrooms and take a leak. So I let the good women from Texas know that the last dude they're ever going to see come in there while they're putting their Maybelline on, the last dude you're ever going to see come up in your bathroom, ladies, would be me. I ain't coming in there. It's not right. Now, we were discussing our common faith. We're all here. We're all gathered up together. I just talked to some folks from old Canada, and they're from Manitoba. The province of Manitoba, that's where when we look at the band numbers on the ducks we harvest, a big bull mallard drake come out, boom. My dog brings it back and says, whoa, Cy claims them all. He said, I got him. I said, where'd that one come from, Cy? We look at that number, we send it off to the feds, and they send us back a little card, and it says, this duck was 7 years old, banded. At least 1 year old when banded, but he was banded in 1997, 1998. So the duck made it back and forth from Canada here for 7 or 8 years, but he came by the wrong bunch of dudes. So we look and it says Manitoba. A lot of the band numbers say Manitoba, Manitoba, Manitoba. So the good folks said, we live in Manitoba, Canada. I'm like, the government of America needs to send you more money. I would start with giving the Canadians more money for ducks. If you're a deacon in the church, you must keep hold, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. You must keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. You say, what would that be? God became flesh 2014 years ago. That's a big truth. The creator of the cosmos becoming flesh. You say, how many people said, no, sir? Most of the human race in the first century said, I'm not buying it. You say, why? That's a big one. Look around at the cosmos. The one who made it becomes like you. You can see him walking around on a dusty road. That's hard to swallow. That's one of the deep truths of the faith. If you're a deacon in the body of Christ, according to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9, you have to keep hold of the deep truths of the faith. I'm an elder here because you said so. You said, how'd God get you here? Through his people. You said, that right there. We want that one right there to look after us. One of the things, now I'm in Titus chapter 1, verse 9. As an elder, I'm entrusted with God's work, verse 7. I must be blameless, not overbearing. You say blameless, what do you mean? If I study with one of you women, one of you ladies, he said, Phil, can we have a Bible study? I said, sure. I have witnesses seated there, honey. You say, do you call in witnesses to sit there while you're studying with this sister or would-be sister? Yeah. Safety. You get it? Safety. Miss Kay's got a little sheet of paper and it says, women to call for a woman's Bible study. So she's got some sisters. It's around on the, where I sit in my chair. There's some kind of piece of furniture. I've got all the notes. It has phone numbers of people you don't want to answer the phone when they call. And people that can get through. Then it's got women you can call if you study with a woman. You say, why? If they make a false charge against me and I don't have any witnesses, it's my word against hers. Well, you understand what I'm telling you? So when y'all run around with all these cell phones, yeah, texting, talking to each other, you know, you're talking to people's wives, their wives. You're not going to get me on that one. I'm blameless. You say, why? I don't have a cell phone. So you're not getting a text, lady, from me. You're not getting my picture, not from me. Somebody else may get it and you may get a hold of it, but not by me. I must be blameless. Hard to get something on me. Not overbearing, not quick-tempered. You throw fits of rage, you say people are going to know. Not given too much wine. Evidently a little will be all right, but it can't be much. Not violent, not pursuing dishonest gain. Must be hospitable. People coming and going out of your house. Got good grub going along there. That's where Miss K comes in. One who loves what is good, self-control, upright, holy, and he must hold, like the deacon, firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught. The deep truths of the faith, the message central. Jesus, God in flesh, died on a cross. We just remembered it a while ago. There's the blood that saved me. This is the body that was given for me. I have to love you. Look out there, a different color. We all came from one man, Adam. One race, human race, black, white, in between, brown, little yellow, off color, little red with that one. Get it down in your mind. Human race. That's the only one here. Forget the color coding. We all came from Adam, and we all make mistakes. We all sin. And God sent Jesus to die for all of us. Right? No matter how wicked you've been, you say, it can be forgiven. Yep. You say, and he'll raise you from the dead. Yep. That's the message. I must hold on to it as it's been taught so that I can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who say, you're trying to tell me that immorality is a sin? You know, you don't have the right to tell me that I can't sleep with who I want to. I said, the Holy Spirit says it's sin. You can be forgiven, but you're going to have to repent. You're a mean old man to tell me I'm a sinner and I have to repent. I said, no, I'm a loving old man. I want you to be saved, dude. Come on. Come on. We all sin. A little lie as bad as what you're doing. I murdered someone. I told a lie. Whoever keeps the whole law and just violates it at one point is guilty of breaking all of it. You either have to be perfect or you better turn to Jesus. You're not getting out of here alive without him. You're going to physically die. As surely as I'm standing here, and so am I. Can you afford to take the chance that there is a resurrection of the dead and Jesus proved it? I told the people from Winsboro yesterday, where I spoke the Good Baptist. If the resurrection of Jesus didn't take place, we're not getting out of here alive. Right? If that didn't happen, you are done. So am I. Man, this seemed like such a short period from when I was a little boy to right now. I look in the mirror now. It's scary. I'm thinking, son, you are leaving here. You know what the kicker is? I can outshoot all these younger bucks. You say, you still outshoot them all. Yeah. You know, I'm looking out across here. Where are they? That shows you how bad these young bucks can shoot. It's pitiful. If it wasn't for me inside, there would be no ducks killed. Whatever I don't claim, he does. The deep truths of the faith. You say, Phil, can I blow it? Oh, you can blow it. You want to know how you can blow the grace of God? You say, can I just lose my soul while I'm on planet Earth? You can lose it. You can have it. And then, bingo, I lost it. How do you lose it? I'm back on 1 Timothy chapter 3. Are you ready? Chapter 4, verse 1. Before I do that, he appeared in a body. The last part of chapter 3, 1 Timothy. You need to read this. You say, why? It tells you how you can blow it. You say, this is telling me how I can lose my soul. Yeah. Jesus appeared in a body. I write it on the board every week. I didn't this week. You say, why? I'm just telling you about it. He appeared in a body, God in flesh, was vindicated by the Spirit. They killed him. 3 days later, he's back. He was seen by angels. They rolled the stone away to bring him out of the hole. You're like, he was preached among the nations, Acts, book of Acts. They preached the gospel. They said, what did we do? Repent and be baptized, all of you, in the name of Jesus. For the remission of your sins, God will give you the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, from then on, same message, same response. Faith in the gospel, repentance, make Jesus Lord, be baptized in water. It says it over, 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 over. You say, is that what most people do? I don't know. He was believed on in the world. Was taken up in glory. We have the story. Jesus has gone back to where he came from. He's at the right hand of God, mediating for everyone who is in him. You say, why does he need to mediate for us? We still make mistakes as Christian. You say, the blood's there. My eyes went out a while ago. You say, good move, my eyes. You say, why? He's made some mistakes. He's about a year and a half old in the faith. You say, did you make many mistakes your first year and a half? Are you kidding? I'm still making mistakes. And I've been in the faith 40 years. You say, you got it all worked out yet, Rob? Perfectly? Not yet. Still working on it. But that first year or two, whew. I made way more my first year or two than I do in the last five. You say, trying to get on your feet in the faith. You say, how long did it take for you to quit wanting to get drunk? CR, you looking? You say, where was CR when you needed him? I don't know. Still getting drunk, I guess. Took me 5 years before the pull stopped. You say, 5 years? 5 years to prove that you weren't going to get drunk anymore. 5 years. I don't know how long it's going to take anybody else, but that's how long it took me before I didn't want to get drunk. Are you with me here? You say, finally, it started fading back, and it got further and further back, and I started learning how to love and learning how to do right, and all these thoughts in my head started becoming more and more of a blur way back there. I asked old Smith one time, How long does it take to get these wicked thoughts out of your head once you become a Christian? He said, how long did it take to get them in there, Phil? I said, about 28 years. He said, gonna be a while. Gotta unlayer it, see? Replace all its junk you got into. You say, I gotta, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Spirit clearly says, how do you blow your faith? That in later times, he wrote this in the first century, midway in the first century. You say, what is it now? It's the beginning of the 21st century. You say, good night, 2,000 years ago. Somewhere in the future from when this was written, guess what human beings are going to do in order to lose their soul? The Spirit clearly says that in later times, you say, how much later? Later than mid-first century. Some will do what? Some will abandon the faith. God didn't leave them. They left him. How do you leave God? Listen. And they're going to follow deceiving spirits. That'd be evil spirits. The one we wrestle with. For sure, me. All the, you say, Phil, you're out there. People are, yeah, they after you. You say, boy, they hate you. Oh, what are you talking about? You say, you're a marked man. Oh, yeah, death threats. Yeah. You say, why are they so mad? The evil one who works in them. The Holy Spirit in me, I go forth. And you say, you're running into opposition. Oh, yeah. Well, somewhere along and now, somewhere between mid-first century and right now, people are going to abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits. Look, and things taught by demons. Boy, whatever he's fixing to say, this must be really bad to teach this. Well, such teachings comes through hypocritical liars. Some of the most blunt language in the Bible is mentioned right here on how to abandon the faith. Their consciences, people who teach this, have been seared as with a hot iron. You say, this is a bad bunch of teachers. Yeah. Guess what they teach, folks? They forbid people to marry. That's the first one. Do what? I come to you and say, no sex for you, dude. You must be celibate. Boom! Let's see. If I tell you that, let me read it again. That's taught by demons. It comes through hypocritical liars. My conscience has been seared over with this hot iron. If you want to get married, you can get married. If you want to get married the godly way, if you are a man, stand in front of the mirror and look and find out in these days. You look there, you say, okay, I'm a man. Well, you find you a woman. See, and you marry her. That way the human race is propagated. God says, bingo, good work, good job. You are free to do so. Don't let anybody tell you you can't get married, because you need to read that text again. You say, what about, though, if I choose to be celibate? Bingo, no problem. You want to go celibate? I know a couple of eunuchs around here. You say, are there eunuchs in the body of Christ? Sure, I know a couple myself. You say, they are like, they're men. They don't date, they don't talk to, I bet it's a lot cheaper. I'm just saying. I think the Apostle Paul had it right. I wish all men were like I am. He said, they were single. He said, but there's so much immorality. Each man should have his own wife and he's her husband. He never said, you don't want to get married. He just saying, your allegiance is all to Jesus if you're a single man. And he basically was saying, it's a lot cheaper if you don't have a woman. Not that these women are coming in with some baggage. I'm just saying, You say, it would be the cheapest way to roll, no doubt about that. You say, well, not to worry about all the kids and all this. That's right. You say, so there is something to be said. According to Jesus, some are eunuchs because they were born that way. Whatever sex drive a person has, you say, some people are born. It's not there. They weren't born homosexual. They were just born with no sex drive. They just are eunuchs, according to Jesus. Some are eunuchs because they were made that way by men. Castration. You say, yep, I can see how that would happen. The king, you know, has got all the good-looking chicks, the harem, and he wants to keep the boys away from harem. So what would he do to them? He'd castrate them. That's the way they did it. Three, some are made that way. Some are eunuchs because of the kingdom of God. Their allegiance, the Apostle Paul, would be a good example. His allegiance to Christ was good enough for him. He said, I just don't want to deal with the wife, the marriage, and all of that. It will get in the way of me going out and preaching the gospel. So he chose to be that way. But don't forget, if somebody comes to you and tells you, you can't get married, they have certainly crossed the line and gotten into demon teaching. And the other thing, ladies, are you ready? Now, most people tell you that certain foods you shouldn't eat. They tell you that based on religious reasons back there in the first century, because if you have food laws as a Jew and you lived under them for 1,500 years, you say, you'd be kind of particular. After being drilled in your head for 1,500 years, we can't eat pork chops. It's out. Catfish, no, sir. We cannot touch them. And we hate these Gentiles because they do eat all of that junk. They're going to burn in hell for eating that kind of food. 1,500 years of just being drilled in your head. Don't eat ham. You say, you would begin to believe it. Oh, what are you talking about? They forbid people to marry, that's one, and they order them to abstain from certain foods. Now, these Gentiles now, it's not even because of religious reasons. It's just, I'm a vegetarian, and I think everybody ought to be a vegetarian. I'm like, for biblical reasons? Because I've got plain statements that says, eat anything sold in the meat market without raising questions of conscience. Food laws are gone. Jesus got us out from under the law of Moses and the food laws that went with it. You say, we're released from all that. Yeah. You say, I literally can eat anything. Literally, scorpions, bugs, fried worms. If you like it, get after it. You say, I can literally eat anything. Yeah. So somebody comes along and said, Phil, you shouldn't eat meat. I sat down with a New York Times. Was it New York Times? It was a lady. And we argued. And I said, well, so you hold it against me if I eat meat. She said, I just don't think it's right. I said, well, based on what? I said, based on the Bible. I said, because the Bible clearly says, I showed her all the texts. We need anything. She said, oh, it's not for religious reasons. I said, well, why do you not want me to kill squirrels and ducks and deer and eat them? So is there anything biblically wrong with it? She says, no. I said, well, let's go to the Constitution of the United States. Does that forbid it? She said, no. I'm like, so you got up one morning and you said, you know what? I think I'm going to bind a teaching on the rest of America because I just think it's the way it ought to be. It's not based on the Bible, the Constitution, or anything. I just think everybody ought to eat carrots and Brussels sprouts. And I'll condemn anybody who eats a squirrel because that's an animal. I'm like, I don't like golf, but I don't go around bad-mouthing golfers. I see Willie and Jace playing golf. You say, you going out there? No. Never. You said, does it bother you for somebody else to play golf? No. I'm just not going to do it. So you don't want me to eat my famous hamburger? He said, I just don't, it bothers me. So anyway, I told the lady, I said, have you ever tried duck? She said, No, I can't do that. I said, what about fruit? Can you eat fruit? She said, I can eat fruit. I said, come in here. So at the end of the interview, you could read it, by the way. I think it was Time magazine, if you want to read the article. I said, come in and let me give you some Mayhaw jelly. There's no meat in it. See what you like about that. So I gave her some Mayhaw jelly. She said, oh, my goodness, that is delicious. I said, it's fruit. It comes out of the woods. If a deer walks by, he lives in the woods too, along with the Mayhaws. I said, yeah, we kill the deer. We eat that too, A squirrel jump in a tree, we kill that thing and eat it. I said, well, look on the ground, whatever, bullfrog, we eat that. Crawfish, they're in holes in the ground, we eat that. She was like, oh, really? I said, yeah. So look, I said, go, but she said, do you know a good restaurant? I said, well, where they serve veggies? So I sent her to Cotton's. I said, look, I'm just saying they have duck. She sent Jason an email when she flew back to New York. And she said, tell your dad that I went to Cotton's and I ordered duck wraps and I ate duck like he does. And then she put on the end of her card, an email deal, They were delicious. She quit bad-mouthing me. She can still love me. And I eat something other than vegetables. Look, don't bind biblically. You can't marry, and certain foods you shouldn't eat. I understand the health craze. If you point these things out to the brothers, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith. You say you don't want to get screwed up with these whims you may come up with and try to bind on your brother. Now look, and of the good teaching that you followed, have nothing to do with godless myths, old wives' tales. Look, train yourself to be godly. Now watch, ladies, I'm for your bikes. On the treadmills, I'm with you. You want to drink little juices, Get after it. Because look, physical training is of some value. I'm with you. Get on the back. Watch your booty. It's way too big in your eyes. I understand. Get on the back and all the stuff you do. It has some value. I'm quoting scripture here. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 4. The Holy Spirit had the Apostle Paul write this down. You say, and I'm not going to blaspheme the Spirit here. It is of some value, your backs and such. But godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. It's like the not much wine. Look, if you have let yourself go to the point that you're just eating far too much. I mean, if you're just too heavy, you may consider cutting back on the amount you are eating and what type of food you're eating. You're getting too heavy. All I can tell you is when you go to these nursing homes, just about all of those people over 85 or 90, if you look around, they're all skinny. Them big heavy ones ain't in there. So where'd they go? They said, well, they never made it to here. I'm just saying. I mean, I'm not a doctor. Don't get me confused with Greg. I love him to death. He's like a brother to me. He is a brother to me, you say, but he's the doctor. Talk to him. But I do run with a doctor, and I talk to him on the phone. But I'm just saying, if you can't get through the door, cut back on the cream potatoes and gravy. Now, deceiving spirits. How much time do I have, Alabama? 15 minutes. We're good. Now watch. ways you can blow it. Go around condemning people and tell them they can't get married. Don't ever do that. And another thing you don't want to do is tell them you can't eat meat. Don't tell anyone that. You say, the Constitution doesn't forbid it, the Bible doesn't forbid it, and you're telling people, I don't think it's right. Don't do that. I just read you why. You say, people who tell people that, they have abandoned the faith. Don't hold that against your brother. Now, here's another way you can blow it. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 5. If anyone, verse 8, now I know all of you have kinfolks, right? How many times do you see in America, and everywhere else really, where these families disintegrate, and I mean there's more yeah, people hating each other, yeah. Y'all have seen that, right? If anyone does not provide for his relatives, you're saying, man, some of you are thinking, well, I'll tell you one thing now, easy now, because you're looking at some of your uncles and all that, you're thinking, I don't know. This shows you how far down America has become, how far down we've come. Can't even stand our own relatives. Think about that. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, one of them has fallen on hard times, what are you going to do? Well, if you don't provide for him, and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith. Therefore, you say, I better be real careful, very careful, that I look around at my kinfolks and one of them falls on hard times and they need a little help here. You say, but Phil, now whether he's talking about all of them being brothers and sisters, members of the body, but it seems to say, give the people these instructions so that they may have no one may be open to blame if anyone does not provide for his relatives. He's probably talking about the relatives inside the church, I'm thinking. You some heathen relative out there that's saying, I'm going to get that Bible out of my face. I'm thinking he's talking about the sons and daughters of God, all of y'all who have family members who are members of the faith. Need to look after them if they fall on hard times and help them out, financially or otherwise, because you deny the faith if you don't provide for your relatives, especially your immediate family, and you are worse than an unbeliever. That's why I'm saying I think this is all believers here. But if you're worse than an unbeliever by not looking after your aunts, uncles, grandpa, grandma, you say, when they get old, and you say, I just abandoned them. When you abandon them, according to that text, you also abandon the faith. Look after your kinfolks. You only have your kinfolks. That's all you have. Better look after them. Take care of them. All right, that's 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 6, you say, can I blow it if I tell people not to get married or get off certain food? I don't like it. I don't think it's right. Yep. You say, if I don't look after my kinfolks, I can blow it. Yep. You're worse than an unbeliever. Here's another way you can blow it. I'm in 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's why you think this study on the faith, this is the first time we brought this up, ways you can blow it. Well, that's why I'm here. Godliness in verse 6, 1 Timothy 6, 6. Godliness with contentment is great gain, no doubt about it. We brought nothing into the world. We can take nothing out of it. But if we had food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Now watch carefully. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. They want to get rich. You say, but Phil, you got rich. I know it. You say, and now your neck is hanging out there. That's why I go around and tell people all the time, money can't remove your sin. I don't care how much you have, right? Can fame raise you from the dead? You say, it's all about where your allegiance is. We're told if you don't work, you don't eat. You say, you have to work. You say, sometimes God blesses you mightily. No doubt about it. You say, but there's something about people who want to get rich, and wanting to get rich comes to be idolatrous in that you love money more than the Almighty. When you get there, you say, better look out, because look, for the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Now listen carefully. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith. Now the other text said they abandoned the faith, but I noticed something. Everybody who's losing their soul over these things, you're saying they're the ones that's checking it to God, and it's not the other way around. God's not checking it to them. They're walking away from it, right? You say, will money do it? Will it do it? And they have pierced themselves with many griefs. If you cry over money, if you are fighting over money, I remember back when I was immature and a lot more stupid than I am now. I said, where'd all the money going? Where's the money going? Miss Kay was called to account. She would have to give me an accounting. Usually when she started down the list telling me where it went, after about halfway down the list, I would say, I've heard enough. Boy, money can go in so many directions, right? If you get tangled up in it and your life is so tangled up in that that you forget God Almighty, you, man of God, flee from all this, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Now watch. He comes back to what we have started with 3 months ago. Fight the good fight of the faith. Your priority should be with human beings. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. All of you were asked from this day forth, will Jesus be the Lord of your life? You said, Jesus is Lord. That was your good confession. Now you were born again. You say, you have obeyed the gospel. You say, I need to major in fighting the good fight of the faith. Now, look down at the bottom. Verse 17. Well, I guess I can't be rich then. Command those who are rich in this present world. You know, you walk by and you look over there and you say, well, who's the money man up there? One of them money men up there at White's Ferry Road. And somebody pointed Silas Robertson and they're like, say what? That dude looks something like some homeless dude just got out of a prisoner of war camp or something. Si got the cash. You say, you trying to tell me that the God's not working in the affairs of men? That would have taken divine intervention to make Silas Robertson a multimillionaire. Give me a break. You see him walking down the road, you want to pick him up or do like Willie and him. Willie was sitting there, you know, and he was drinking a cup of coffee. Some guy come over and drop some money in it, you know, click, click. He thought old Willie was begging, you know. He said, hey, dude, don't get the money in my coffee there. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant. Look, not to put their hope in wealth. I said, money can't remove your sin. Fame can't raise you from the dead. Don't put your hope in it. That's his point here, which is so uncertain. But to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything to our enjoyment. Look, I used to fish the river. I was happy. Command them to be good, rich in good deeds, generous, really. Timothy, guard what's been entrusted to your care. That's what I'm telling y'all today. Turn away from godless chatter and the opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge. Don't get into all that crap, which some have professed. Now look, and in so doing, you get into all these little doctrinal things, have wandered from the faith. It's just like Mac was talking about this morning. We argue about how we present the Lord's Supper, who's passing it out, and we forget what the supper's all about. You're like, surely we wouldn't do that. We just get into a rut. You know, they've got like Catholicism, you know, the priest, he's the only one that can hand out the, you know, and it's just like a ritual, and it does over and over. We're about as bad as walking around, you know, afraid, you know. It's supposed to be a big celebration, a remembrance, coming together. Look, we're all of the same faith. We have the same God, the same Jesus, the same blood was shed for us all. Because of what God did through Jesus, the good news, you say we're all here together. We know we can be raised from the dead. We know our sins are removed. Black, white, yellow, red, we're all come together under one head, even Jesus. It's the greatest thing and the only thing that will actually bring human beings together that I've found, right? It's the only thing out there. We proclaim that message wherever we go. Some do it in a bigger way than others. You say, but the message is there. The camaraderie was there. The brotherhood is there. You say it brings all people, no matter their ethnic background, brings us all together as one. There is no color among us. We're just all together under one head, even Jesus. Father, maybe there may be some who have wandered from the faith. Father, I'd just like to tell them they need to just wander back in, come back in and say, hey, I just got on the right path, got off the right path, and I got on the wrong one, and I've ended up out here up to no good. I would pray, Father, that they would just come back to the common faith that we all share here today. Father, we love you, we love each other, and it's not rocket science. You brought us all together as a family here today on this earth. We are trying, Father, to present Jesus in a positive light. We're trying to be salt and light in a wicked world. Father, we need your help through your Spirit in order to do that. Father, when the opposition comes, and it surely does all the time, thank you, Father, for giving us the ability to love others even when they don't like us. I thank you for that because it's a great hurdle that I've crossed in my own life. I really don't hold it against them if they hate me or you. I just love them. I know you do. You've proven that. So help us, Father, be kind and gentle with all men, being very aware, Father, that how we live, it does impact others around us. Help us, Father, live such a godly life in Christ Jesus, that you will be glorified in everything we do, and you would never be maligned by the stuff that comes out of our mouth. Help us have clean mouths, Father, and good, clean hearts. Help us to flee from drunkenness and immorality, Father, or even a hint of it. Father, help us run from the evil one when he comes our way, which he does all the time. Give us strength, give us power, give us wisdom, give us discernment on how to navigate planet Earth, which is a minefield indeed, while we're here. Thank you, Father, above all else, for guaranteeing us we can be raised from the dead, that all of our rotten, filthy sins have been removed. Thank you, Father, over and beyond anything else, removing the guilt from our heart. Thank you, Father, for giving us peace of mind, which is so hard to find today on planet Earth. I pray all this in the name of Jesus, who made this possible, Father. Amen. All right, I love y'all. Stay out of trouble.